Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, and welcome to the 15th annual SCOTENS conference here in the Crown Plaza Hotel in Dundalk. My name is Noel Purdy, and I'm Director of Research and Scholarship at Strathmillan University College in Belfast. But more importantly, here today, I'm welcoming you as the Northern Co-Chair of SCOTENS. So on behalf of my fellow co-chair, Professor Cathy Hall of University College Cork, and all the members of the SCOTENS Steering Committee, we sincerely hope that you'll find this year's conference stimulating, challenging, provocative even, while at the same time we hope that this follows the tradition of previous SCOTENS conferences by being open and friendly and inclusive. And if you're here for the very first time at a SCOTENS conference, you are particularly welcome. Before I go any further, some essential housekeeping information. I'm assured by the hotel staff that we're not expecting any fire alarms or drills this afternoon, but in the event of the alarm sounding, please follow the many green signs that are around the room if you have a wide choice today, and assemble out in the car park as quickly as possible. I'd also ask you to turn your mobile phones, tablets, and laptops to silent. No need to turn them off. Please don't turn them off. And indeed, we would welcome your interaction on social media this afternoon, in particular on Twitter. If possible, using this conference's hashtag, which you will see at the top of your conference program if you haven't already seen it there. It's perhaps hard to remember, but it's there for you at the very top of your program. It's hashtag SCOTENS 2017. Twitter provides a very valuable platform for us as delegates to interact with each other, sometimes across the table or across the room, but also to tell others here in Ireland and much further afield just how valuable the work of SCOTENS is. So feel free to tag in those that you feel would be interested in our work. Feel free to use as many image filters as you wish to cover over some wrinkles and to make us look even more beautiful than we already are. And please get tweeting and retweeting. The main plenary sessions of the conference are also being audio recorded this year and will be available to listen to on the SCOTENS website in the very near future. And indeed, there is a real treasure trove of audio and some video recordings as well of previous keynote addresses from previous conferences on our SCOTENS website. That's www.scotens.org. So if you haven't seen those and you wish to look back, there's some great material there. The theme of this year's SCOTENS conference, Educational Innovation, the Challenge of Evidence-Informed Change, is sure to resonate with all of us as teacher educators, whether we're based north or south of the Irish border, or indeed further afield. As teacher educators, we're conscious of the contested discourse around evidence-informed change, whether in school classrooms or in terms of teacher education itself. And we feel that this is an important debate which needs to be had around the role of evidence in driving innovation. What sort of evidence is needed? Who's producing it? Is it adequate? Are policymakers listening? What are the consequences of not listening? Are there tensions around values and evidence? And if so, how do we reconcile them? How do we address the tendency to have one-size-fits-all innovation? And how do we obtain the best balance among decision-makers, policymakers, researchers, professional educators? In her foreword to the recently published edited volume, Teacher Education in Times of Change, Marilyn Cochrane-Smith notes that teacher education policies, like other education and social policies, are actively translated, mediated, and contested, rather than passively transferred or passed along, within and across particular national contexts. She also remarks, as an outsider, on the sheer extent of variation of teacher education policy within the UK and Ireland, as a range of historical and socioeconomic factors facilitate and impede mediation, and as culturally and institutionally shaped practices influence local instantiations. As we approach this theme, then, we must interrogate the nature of innovation in education and teacher education, given that many would see teacher education as a vehicle for regulation and indeed manipulation to ensure positive outcomes and pupil achievement in schools, as measured by attainment tests. And so innovation for many has taken the form of a shift towards outcomes-based accountability at the expense, it could be argued, of other important outcomes such as social, emotional, and moral development and citizenship. Another of the key turns or aspects that are highlighted by Cochrane-Smith is the practice turn, by which he refers to the criticism, in some quarters at least, of university-based teacher education, and the perceived gap between theory and practice, as some critics have insisted that student teachers should focus just on the mastery of a set of predefined skills, or tricks of the trade, as Michael Gove has famously called them, with little or no need for the inquiry-based learning, research-focus, or foundational education studies disciplines that many of us hold dear. Such a focus on practice belies a very different view of teaching and of teachers than many of us in this room might espouse. Within this context, the past decade in particular has seen rapid change within models of teacher education, especially perhaps in England, where a proliferation of models of entry into teaching has emerged. The graduate teacher programme, then school direct, school-centred initial teacher training, or SCITS, and most recently proposals to develop QTS apprenticeships, as well as the continued IT provision through universities. As onlookers from this side of the Irish Sea, we sometimes wonder at the degree of evidence used to inform such change in policy, and we look forward to the insights from our two keynote speakers who work within this particular fast-changing English context. On this side of the Irish Sea, there has, of course, also been much debate around initial teacher education in recent years, particularly structures and infrastructures, and some significant change, particularly south of the border. North and south, there's been some lively discussion about forms of evidence adopted in this debate and their relative power in an age when government budgets are under such significant pressure. Professor Ian Mentor, who was our keynote speaker 3 years ago in Enniskillen, I'm not sure if any of you were there, posed the question, where next, in terms of research and teacher education? And he referred to the publication of the BEARA, a very significant publication of the BEARA RSA report of 2014, which made a strong case for teachers and teacher educators to engage with research, both in terms of keeping up to date with the latest developments in their subject areas, but also in being equipped to engage in inquiry-oriented practice, to critically investigate what's working well and what can be made more effective in their own practice, based on evidence. And as such, this again raises the question of the nature of such evidence and whether a focus on evidence-rich classrooms simply means a focus on test data-rich classrooms. Ian Mentor has also written more recently of competing models of teacher education. He quotes Michael Gove's 2010 white paper, which championed teacher training on the job, and compared this to last year's keynote speaker, you'll remember Professor Graham Donaldson from Scotland, and his 2011 vision of the teacher as, and I quote, a professional who's highly proficient in the classroom and who's also reflective and inquiring not only about teaching and learning, but also about those wider issues which set the context for what should be taught and why. So both Michael Gove and Graham Donaldson have been instrumental in driving and leading change in England and Scotland, respectively. But the underlying philosophical differences in their conceptions of teaching and teachers could hardly be greater. And of course, such stark differences are not new, as any student of Dewey, Piaget, Vygotsky, or Gardner would tell you, all arguably instigators of change, all pioneers of innovation, but also subject to trenchant criticism. Most recently, in the weeks preceding the Brexit vote in June of last year, evidence presented by academics, so-called experts, was repeatedly challenged and increasingly discredited as irrelevant, leaving academic researchers relegated, it seemed, to their book-filled ivory towers, far removed from the realities of everyday life. As Michael Gove told us last June, people in this country have had enough of experts. Across the Atlantic, President Trump similarly has denounced international research evidence for climate change as a hoax. And thus, in two or three short comments, the gauntlet has surely been thrown down for higher education to communicate more effectively with the rest of society, to make the case for evidence-based innovation, and to defend even our right to exist. Little wonder, perhaps, then, that as we approach the next Research Excellence Framework, the REF exercise, in the UK in 2021, the weighting for research impact has been increased from 20 to 25% of the total score, providing further incentive for researchers and universities to engage meaningfully and perhaps more effectively than ever before with the world beyond academia. So as we approach the theme of this year's conference, important questions are surely raised about the nature of innovation in education and teacher education, contested forms of evidence, and the challenges of presenting that evidence to policymakers in a cogent and compelling manner, lest it be discounted as mere fake news. Faced with these challenges, this year perhaps more than ever, it's important that we at SCOTANS reaffirm the principles of cross-border collaboration and learning upon which this unique organisation was founded in 2000. Imbued at the time with the spirit of cautious optimism just 2 years after the signing of the Belfast or Good Friday Agreement in April 1998. Just 2 years later, SCOTANS secured matched funding from the Department of Education and Science in Dublin and the Departments of Education and Employment and Learning in Northern Ireland. The first of its agreed objectives was to provide a supportive framework for collaborative research and professional activities on teacher education, North and South. Over the past 17 years, SCOTANS has funded over 100 seed funding research projects, each uniquely involving partners from both sides of the border, as well as facilitating student-teacher exchange for hundreds of young teachers, and has organised, as I said, 15 annual conferences, attracting a wealth of internationally renowned speakers, and bringing together us as teacher educators and now doctoral students as well to engage in dialogue, debate, learning, and bridge building in what is surely a very unique space. Inspired by last year's keynote speaker, the social learning theorist Etienne Wenger, the steering committee has begun a very timely piece of evaluative research. While many have claimed in the past that it's too difficult or even impossible to measure the impact of communities of practice, Etienne Wenger has argued in his latest thinking that it is possible to build a good case using quantitative and qualitative data to measure different types of value created by any community of practice. Doing this involves tracing how members are changing their practice and improving performance, and in doing so, we are asking you this year to get involved in some research yourselves at our conference. This will involve recording your thoughts on the value of your involvement with SCOTANS, using some prompt cards to support you. Just to reassure you, the research proposal has received full ethical approval, and your data will remain confidential and anonymous. The work will help to provide evidence for us as members of SCOTANS, but also importantly for government and policymakers of the work and value of this unique organisation. The value inquiry is timely, coming just weeks after the policy change announcement by the Department of Education in Northern Ireland that it will no longer part-fund the work of SCOTANS. While no one can deny the realities of budgetary pressures exacerbated by the political stalemate at Stormont, we as a steering committee feel more compelled than ever before to explore, document, and we hope celebrate the value of SCOTANS. While those of us working in teacher education have long recognised that value, the hour has now come to tell the story more clearly than ever before to those who perhaps have been unaware of the sheer range of activities funded by member subscriptions and until now by all three departments north and south of the border. While our request for a face-to-face meeting with the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Education has fallen on deaf ears, we have begun to lobby politicians and officials in both jurisdictions, and we do remain optimistic that sense will prevail, that the evidence of innovation and collaboration will speak volumes, and that those in positions of power, whether permanent secretaries or restored ministers, will acknowledge the significance, impact, and cost-effectiveness of their funding of the work of SCOTANS. So given this particular context, can I encourage you to seriously consider getting involved in our research by going along to what you may have seen just outside here. It's not being set up for a summer barbecue, but there is a gazebo, a tent, a where-how tent just outside the door here. And there you will find Christina Curran. Now, Christina Curran, I'm going to ask to stand up. Christina Curran has come down specially to facilitate this research and to organise the interview. So please call into the tent, have a chat with Christina and arrange a suitable time when you could come back and take part in a short interview that Christina will help to facilitate. There is a very strong incentive for you getting involved, and that takes the form of chocolate bars. We thought that would be much more convincing than monetary exchange, particularly in budgetary pressured times. Finally, we are especially delighted to welcome not just our workshop facilitators, but our two keynote speakers to the conference this year. Professor Viv Ellis, a Professor of Educational Leadership and Teacher Development at King's College London, will deliver tomorrow's keynote address, and he will be introduced more fully then by my colleague, Professor Cathy Hall. And this afternoon's keynote speaker, Professor Colleen McLoughlin, Director of Educational Innovation at the University of Cambridge. Colleen is no stranger to Ireland, and indeed with a name like Colleen McLoughlin, that shouldn't come as a surprise to us that her mother hails from County Wexford, and indeed she has cousins in County Meath. Colleen taught in secondary schools and worked as an advisor in a local education authority before coming to the then Institute of Education in Cambridge in 1985. Having risen to become deputy head of the Faculty of Education at Cambridge, Colleen left Cambridge briefly for 3 years to take up the position of head of department at the University of Sussex. Now safely back amid the dreaming spires of Cambridge, her recent research has focused on well-being in schools for the Welsh Government and the Nuffield Foundation, relationships in schools, sexuality and HIV-related education in Africa for the Commonwealth Centre for Education, bullying and pupils with special educational needs and disabilities, counselling in schools, and aspects of personal, social and emotional development in schools. Support for international education reform is also now a major area of work for Colleen, and she has been involved as an advisor to governments and NGOs on the personal and social dimensions of schooling. Professor McLoughlin, you are very welcome back to Ireland and for the very first time to this GoTens conference here in Dundalk. And so I'd now like to invite you to come to the podium to deliver your keynote address, which we're very much looking forward to. Thank you.